206 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. Bombshell in Washington. Kevin McCarthy dropping out in his attempts to become Speaker of the House. Want to get right to Congressman Scott Desjarlais, 4th District. Congressman, appreciate you being here on the Dan Mandis Show.
Dan, thanks for having me on.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about the fact that a lot of people seemed shocked by this. Tell me, one, your initial reaction. I'm assuming that you were shocked as well. Were there any rumblings? Of course, McCarthy had that disastrous comment last week about Hillary Clinton. Were there rumblings within Washington that maybe he was on the fence about continuing this run for Speaker of the House?
I would say as of 9 o'clock this morning, no one had a clue that he was planning on making the announcement he did at noon. So I definitely think the Benghazi comment damaged him to a certain extent. We did get calls here in the office with concerns about that. You know, he admitted that he handled it improperly. So, but I don't know that that had anything to do with his decision at the 11th hour, literally, as we were starting the voting process.
What was the atmosphere in the room like when he made that announcement? Were people relieved? Were people shocked? There's been some comments that there was no way he was going to be able to get the 218 votes. Was it relief? Was it despair? What was it?
I think it was just more confusion. We literally had just sat down, you know, 245 people just getting seated. The normal procedure would be that there's a nomination process where somebody nominates a candidate, then you have different people give short speeches to second it, and then you go through all three candidates. So we all, we did the pledge and the prayer, and we all sat down to settle in for that type of thing to happen, just as it has in the past. And Kevin came to the mic and made an announcement that he was not the guy. And then Speaker Boehner came to the mic and adjourned the meeting. We would hold the election at a separate time. So I think people were just kind of in shock that this all took place in the matter of just a couple of minutes.
And one of the comments that he made was, his quote was, "I'm not the one to unify the party." Do you agree?
Well, it's possible. I don't necessarily know that that's the case or not. I know that there were reservations about Kevin, just as there was about prior leadership. Certainly, this is a wave that's sweeping across the country, and you see non-politicians leading in the Republican presidential race for, I think, the same reason. So, you know, there's certainly a faction within the party, the House Freedom Caucus, who had really very simple demands. We just wanted to members to be put back on key committees that they were thrown off of because they didn't go along with leadership. But we wanted, you know, more input in legislative agenda or setting the legislative agenda. We didn't want the NRCC working against incumbent Republicans. It's pretty simple demand. So as far as the Freedom Caucus is concerned, I think I've heard reference to Kevin McCarthy saying that he couldn't accommodate the Freedom Caucus's demands and that he couldn't get to 218 because of that. But we're just looking for fair treatment within the conference, and we think that every representative from across the nation in the Republican Party deserves to be heard and to have a seat at the table.
And you are, of course, a member of that caucus. So let me ask you a question. I got my tinfoil hat on here. So.
Okay.
We know that maybe he was going to get the 218, maybe not. But after he made the controversial comments last week about Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, how it was politically motivated, I think that personally, I believe that Kevin McCarthy was not – he was taken aback. He was not prepared for the reaction to his comments. And I think he's been watching what John Boehner has been going through for quite some time. Do you think that perhaps maybe what happened is Kevin McCarthy realized that he perhaps didn't want anything to do with this? Maybe he got just a taste of what it was going to be like to be Speaker of the House, and he thought, you know, this really isn't for me.
Well, you know, if that was the reason, as you said, that happened a week ago, there's been a lot of time to digest that. Certainly, you know, Hillary Clinton's emails are an issue, and other things that she did in the handling of Benghazi continue to be an issue. So I don't think Kevin handled the comments appropriately. Almost any investigation coming out of Washington can be accused of being political in nature. That's, you know, that's not shocking news. So I don't think personally that that was the reason that he made the decision not to run. I do think that that did give some people pause about his readiness. But the fact that he took it up to the 11th hour, we had a conference this morning where all the candidates got up and spoke to the conference making their case for speaker. So why would he do that at 9 o'clock this morning and then at noon decide, okay, well, you know, I've thought about it for 3 hours and I'm not the guy. So, yeah, Benghazi may have had a role. And today's understand today's election was not the final election that would have occurred on October 29th. So he just had to get a majority today, which I fully believe he would have.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was enough votes in the conference to move that process on, and then he would have had 3 weeks to work the people who were not supporting him and try to get them to earn their confidence. So I don't know. I think it was really a surprising move just by the way it happened.
John Boehner leaving the speakership. Of course, now we have Kevin McCarthy dropping out in the ensuing election there within Congress to become Speaker of the House. I'm seeing a whole lot of analysis, people saying that the Republicans are in disarray. There's just complete confusion. You yourself have talked about this. Boehner dropping out, McCarthy dropping out. It does seem like there is an awful lot of surprises within the Republican Party. And I guess my question is, Representative David Jolly out of Florida, he says that it's going to take a hard family conversation to unify the party. What is that conversation, just to riff a little bit on David Jolly's comment, what is that conversation going to be about?
I mean, unifying the party is unifying our message, and we've had several opportunities to lead. The American people elected a Republican majority in the House and the Senate for a reason, and the current leadership was not delivering on the promises that were made, and it was difficult for people who do run and make promises within their district to represent the people as they claim and then come to Washington and you're told how to vote and how you should behave. So I think that what has happened in Washington with Eric Cantor being voted out of office, with John Boehner resigning and Kevin McCarthy, you know, not stepping up, is that it's the mood of the country right now that we want people who will listen and lead. And they're electing conservatives for a reason, but we're not getting conservative values brought forth in terms of votes and moving them to the Senate. And yeah, President Obama is probably going to veto a lot of what we do, but let him own that. Let's keep our promise to the people and let the president take responsibility. We need leadership will do that. So I don't think the Republican Party is in disarray. I think the country is very dissatisfied with the way leadership has been handling things. And now we have a great opportunity to set the tone, set the message, and move forward and make significant changes. So I think it's a real opportunity.
All right, so let's look at some of these names. Daniel Webster out of Florida, Jason Chaffetz out of Utah. Of course, Daniel Webster, people will call him, of course, Tea Party aligned and fiscally conservative. Jason Chaffetz, apparently more of an establishment Republican. Let's talk about those two names. I know that you're a supporter of Daniel Webster. Tell me why you like him.
And honestly, House Freedom Caucus endorsed Daniel Webster, and he's really not a Tea Party candidate. In fact, if you look at his conservative scores, they're fairly low. And
okay.
Jason Chaffetz has not been here a long time either. I think what the House Freedom Caucus liked about Daniel Webster is his approach to leadership. And so I think for people to claim that Daniel Webster was a member of House Freedom Caucus or was beholden to them, I think is simply untrue. Now, my personal choice and who I would have voted for today was Jim Jordan, the same person I voted for in January. But as I said, the official election takes place on October 29th. And in 3 weeks, a lot can happen in Washington, and I expect a lot will. And I think you'll see a lot of other names besides Jason Chaffetz and Daniel Webster. So, I mean, if we have the same conversation in a week, I think you're going to see a whole new set of dynamics.
Let me ask you a question. The position itself, Speaker of the House, over the past couple of speakers, it's been, of course, very controversial, and it seems to me to be like a job that is very challenging. Why would somebody want to do this job? And I've asked a couple of other political commentators this question, and it tends to come down to power, I guess. But you tell me, because you are right there inside the Beltway. You've been watching these guys work. You tell me, why would somebody want to do this job?
Well, I think if somebody was to be the speaker and do the job properly, the speaker is not the president. The president is the one that's supposed to step up and lead and make the speeches to the country. The Speaker of the House is supposed to let the House work its will. And I think if we had a leader or a speaker that would listen to the conference, you know, get a consensus and move that forward and play to win, then it would not be a bad job, because it would be really just like my job representing the 4th District in Tennessee. You listen to what the people want, you get a consensus, and then you move forward with that. And I think the speaker's job is the same, only you're doing it with, in this case, 245 members. So it shouldn't be about ego. It shouldn't be about power. It should be about the will of the House, and that's what the House of Representatives is all about.
I'm going to go back to something you said, because I found it interesting, and I actually wrote it down. Daniel Webster, you said that people like him because of his approach to leadership. Tell me what that means.
It means that he follows a process. And it's not about ego with Daniel Webster, from what I can tell. I don't know Daniel Webster well. He came in with my class. He's fairly low profile. He apparently was the Speaker of the House in Florida. And he did things with a different approach. He let people bring bills to the floor. He let the rules of the House function as they were supposed to. And it wasn't, you know, a dictatorship. So he was more of a liaison between you know, the various members on both sides of the aisle and the process.
Let's talk about the government shutdown December 11th. That is looming. Tell me what's going to happen with that. Is this going to have an effect on that? We have other deadlines as well. Of course, John Boehner has announced that he will stay as long as he needs to. So where do you folks go moving forward? Where does the Republican Party in Congress go moving forward in the House of Representatives?
Well, I think what we do is we go ahead and try to move forward on this election. You know, Speaker Boehner has announced his intent to retire and resign at the end of October. You know, I think we should try to get these elections accomplished in the next 3 weeks. And then I think, you know, we unite as a party. We talk about the messages that we pledged to talk about, repealing the Affordable Care Act. We talk about tax reform. We talk about immigration enforcement. And all the messages, you know, shrinking the size and scope of government, decreasing regulatory burdens, we have messages that we got elected on, and we can drive those policies. So we unite, we get our speaker, and we set the tone moving into the next year. And with the presidential election coming up, you know, 2017 can be a great time for the Republican Party and people with conservative principles.
Scott Desjarlais, one last question for you. How are you feeling?
I feel great.
Yeah, so I know you came down with, it was cancer, right?
Right, I had cancer about a year ago. We had a clear PET scan back in May, and from a health standpoint, things are going very well, and I appreciate you asking.
Terrific. Well, then the prayers of the Mandis family and others were answered, and I appreciate you checking in here on the Dan Mandis Show on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Scott Desjarlais joining us on what is essentially confusion, at least that's my description of it, confusion within the House of Representatives there for the Republicans, and we'll see where it goes from here. It is 2:20 on WTN.